your Bibles and turn with me to God's Word of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Sometimes reading your Bible, you come across a few verses that just don't make any sense at all. You wonder why those verses are in there. Now, we know the Bible, the Word of God is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, is what we call it, God-breathed. God spoke His Word, it become into existence, and we have here the Word of God before us. And we have just a few verses tonight that might not make any sense to you, but as soon as we get through preaching tonight, I hope it will speak to our hearts in great volumes about what God will have for us. But look here, if you would, Matthew chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogues. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Now listen to this. Christ was in the synagogue. Pharisees all around. As Christ entered in, a man was actually in the church house with a withered hand. And they wanted to accuse Christ of breaking the law. They wanted something that they could get on Jesus Christ to go against him. So they said, Lord, is it right to work on the Sabbath day? And we've all got this expression when you ask somebody to come to church, they said, I got an ox in a ditch. I got something to do. I've got something to take care of. I got some kind of excuse. Listen to what Jesus Christ done here on verse 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath days, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then said he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored hold like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now here Christ performed a great miracle in the synagogue. His man hand was healed, his withered hand was restored like the other. In other words, his hand was made just like the other hand. It was what God intended to happen on that particular day. And the Pharisees sought something to accuse Jesus. They said, Jesus, can you work on the Sabbath days? They were trying to find something to go against him. And Jesus said, is it wrong to do well? Now, I'm not about doing work on Sundays. I believe we all should relax and rest and get away from our daily routines on Sunday. But hey, look at me. I'm the pastor of this church. It's my job, so-called job, to preach. And I preach on Sunday. So, in fact, as the pastor, I'm working on Sunday. Normally, I try to take Mondays off. I relax and rest and just sleep on the couch and eat honey buns and drink Pepsi all day long on Mondays. But my friend, there's a time we need to come apart and rest for a little while. And Christ done something great. He restored the man's hand. He made it just like the other hand. And then the Bible says he healed all those who followed and was with him. Boy, our God's a great God. He's a great healer. He's the only great physician there is. He can heal the sick. If he chooses to, he can heal all those that has diseases and illnesses and sickness tonight. And here it was talking about the Lord's compassion. And the Bible says, I want you to notice what it says here. And we're going to draw our text out of this verse 9 and verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Boy, you read that many times, you say, what in the world is going on? I've read that and read that and read that. It's never spoke to my heart until I read it this last time and thought about it. What in the world would Christ be talking about a bruised reed and a smoking flax? What does all this mean? All this refers to the compassion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He just got through healing a man that had a withered hand. And all these others was following after Jesus Christ. And he healed them. And he said, hey, when you go back home, don't mention my name. Don't tell no one about me. And he said, I want the prophecy, I want the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah to come true. That, hey, a bruised reed will I not break. A smoking flax will I not quench. What does that mean to us tonight who are part of the bride of Christ, who are part of the church, who's part of the family of God? It means tonight we have a Savior that has compassion. We have a Savior that has compassion. I want you to follow along. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read the account of Isaiah to you. Isaiah 42 verse 3, the Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. The exact same words is in the book of Isaiah and also in the book of Matthew, and it's written for us tonight. A bruised reed. What is a bruised reed? A reed was a piece of grass that grew and had a long stem, and the stem was hollow. And any playing, any kind of work done around this reed, if it bruised the reed because it was hollow, it began to wilt, it began to lay over, it began, my friend, not to be erect, but it began just to flop over. We've got some plants outside, and when the cold months come, the frost will actually wither the plant, and maybe it was standing upright, standing erect, and when the cold weather comes, it bruises the plant, and the plant begins just to fall over, slowly but surely. And you know what the Bible says? That Christ wouldn't break a bruised reed. A bruised reed is good for nothing. A bruised reed is sore to look upon. It just makes the whole outfit undesirable. What in the world am I trying to say tonight? Hey, some of us is a bruised reed. Hey, some of us are going strong for God and erect and wide open for God, but something happened. We gotten bruised and we're starting to lay over. We're starting to go down. We're not as beautiful as we once looked, my friend, but God has so much compassion. The Bible says he will not even break a bruised reed. You go outside, and if you care about your lawn, you pull them not them daylilies, but them dandelions out of your yard. And you pull the crabgrass out of your yard. You pull the weeds out of your yard. Our Savior said he has so much compassion for the people upon this earth that he wouldn't even break a bruised reed because it belongs to him. Nor would he quench a smoking flax. What is a flax? A flax is material that these people use to make a wick that goes in their lamps to give them light. And my friend, anybody knows if you light a wick on a candle, or light a wick in a lamp, if that wick goes out, it begins to smoke. It irritates your eyes. It makes dirty the vessel. It's no good for light. Well, we've all been there. I've had a life. Sometimes it was no good for Jesus. Well, of course, I'm pastor of the church and trying to tell you how we should live our Christian life. And at times myself, I wonder, am I mounting to what God wants me to mount to? But my friend, I stop and think about the compassion of God. And God says, if that flax, if that wick went out and just was smoldering and just was smoking, he wouldn't, my friend, take his fingers and wet him and put out the wick because he had so much compassion. Hey, our God loves us tonight. And no matter what you've done in 2010 and what you said and where you've been, hey, God has compassion for all of us. My friend, God has compassion. I want to show you this. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Jude, right before the book of Revelations. Of course, Revelations is the last book of the Bible. Before that, you have the small book of Jude, just one chapter. I want you to notice a great verse about compassion. I wish this verse would be imprinted upon our hearts and lived out every day. Notice what the Bible says. In Jude, verse 22, and some having or have compassion. Let's read it correctly. And some have compassion, making a difference. And some have compassion, making a difference. Hey, my friend, our Savior has all compassion. Don't you believe that? And the Bible says that some have compassion, and those who has compassion, they're the ones who makes a difference. Boy, is it the great preaching that makes a difference in people's lives? Is it the great Sunday school teachers? Is it the great children's church workers? Is it the great singers? Is it the great soloists? Is it the great trios that sings to our hearts that makes a difference in our lives? Hey, beloved, it's those who has compassion, who's willing to give themselves to make a difference in someone else's life. Well, that counts. What is compassion tonight? We've heard it. I've heard it from Preacher Larry. It's you putting their heart in your heart. It's you sympathizing with them. The Bible gives us a clear definition of what compassion is. If you have a habit of marking your Bible, you don't have to. I do. But beside this verse, verse 22, write Romans chapter 12, verse 15. And we'll turn there in just a few minutes to read that. But Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it gives you a clear definition of what compassion truly is. If you get through writing that, look there if you would. Romans chapter 12. We're going somewhere tonight. I want you to see what's going on here in Romans chapter 12. In verse 15, just one verse, it sums up, it gives you a clear definition of what true compassion is. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, rejoice with them that do, what do they do to church? Rejoice. And weep with them that what? In other words, the Bible says you rejoice with them that rejoice, and you weep with them that weep. Hey, my friend, compassion is putting their heart in your heart. And if someone's happy, if somebody's rejoicing, if someone's glad, hey, we ought to rejoice and be glad and be happy with them. Brother David Harrelson, a man of God, a preacher, come to the church the other day and was in the Wednesday evening service with us. Hey, he got a brand new van 2 years ago. Well, I was happy as the devil about that. Well, I'll get the devil out of here. I was just as happy as I could be. He just got a brand new car, bought and paid for and gave to him out of love. Well, I'm just as tickled pink about that. I'm glad he got a brand new car. I'm glad they got a brand new van. I'm glad his daddy buys them new suits. I'm glad his daddy takes care of them. I'm glad his stepmama takes care of them. I'm glad God provides all these things for him. Hey, he's got a new car. I'm not jealous. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry about it. I'm going to rejoice because he's rejoicing. But tonight, some people sick and heartbroken and hurting. And we need to learn how to rejoice with this one when something good happens, but also weep with those who's weeping. Because, beloved, it could be at your house any day of the week. I learned that. I learned that this year. Boy, it could be hunky-dory. Everybody know what hunky-dory means? It means it's peachy king. It means it's great, it's wonderful. It could be that Monday. And Tuesday, it can flip-flop. And you can have one of the worstest days of your life. And we need someone to rejoice with us when we rejoice. And we need someone to weep and cry when we weep and cry. And the Bible says those who have compassion, they're the ones who makes a difference. It's not how good I can preach or how good you can sing or how much financially you'll be able to help someone. It's whether or not we can have enough of God in our hearts to give out compassion to those who maybe don't deserve it, but who needs it. I can rejoice with you. If someone gets a brand new suit, I'm happy about it. Someone gets a brand new tie, I'm happy about it. Someone gets a brand new car, I'm happy about it. Hey, but when somebody's suffering and going through something, we need to learn to weep with them and cry with them. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said he had so much compassion that a reed that has been bruised and it's fallen down to the earth, he would not break it. He would not do away with it. A smoking flax that should be burning bright and giving off light, but now it's just smoking and dirtying up the glass and irritating the eyes. He said, a smoking flax would he not quench. Well, that's how much compassion our Savior has for us, for me, for you, who's let our Savior down. He's got compassion. for us who have stepped beyond the boundaries of God and sinned against Him, for us who, my friend, has missed the mark and has iniquity against God, for us, my friend, who has gone beyond what God has called us and wanted us to do. We've gone beyond that and done something totally different, and now we have iniquity, now we have transgressions, and now we have sins. God says He loves you so much that He will not break a reed or quench a smoking flax because of His great compassion. God has compassion for the lost, don't He? I think about the woman caught in adultery. We know the story. She was caught with a man. They brought the woman before Jesus, and they started accusing the woman before Jesus. And Jesus knelt down and began to write something in the sand. I wish I was there to read what He wrote. I wish I knew the words He wrote in the sand. And somebody said maybe it was the sins of the people that Christ wrote in the sand. And the people screamed out, "Christ, you should stone her. According to the law, we should kill this woman who's caught in adultery." And Jesus stood up and said, "You without sin, throw the first stone." And no one could throw a stone, but they allowed the stones to roll from their fingertips and hit the ground. What did Christ write on the sand? Maybe He wrote compassion. Maybe He wrote mercy. Maybe He wrote grace. As they had them stones ready to kill the woman, instead of condemning her, He had compassion for her. Our Savior has compassion for the lost. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we have compassion for those who's going to die without Christ? You say, "Well, preacher, they chose the road of their own. They chose a lifestyle. That man chose to drink beer and beat his wife and abuse his child and go to prison. But hey, if Christ had compassion on them, should not we have compassion on the lost?" My friend, how to have compassion? You weep because on the inside they're weeping. I heard a story about a young man and two of his friends going into a cave, and they had one flashlight. Two of them was brave. One was a little scared, but he didn't want to be called a chicken, so he went with his other two friends into the cave. And so they said they went deep into the cave. They went real far into the cave. And finally, the young boy who was scared, who was holding the flashlight, who had responsibility of holding the flashlight, he got spooked and scared and took off running and ran out of the cave and left his two friends standing deep in the cave, pitch black. The boy said all they could do was feel the side of the cave to find their way out. Could you imagine? You know what they said? They said, "We wasn't listening for anything, but we was looking. We was looking for one little speck of light. Because where that one little speck of light was, that was our hope of getting out. That was the only way out, is if we can find the lights and go to the lights and get out by the door we come in." Hey, my friend, the world is lost in their sins. They're blinded by the devil, and they're in the darkness of blackness forever, and they're going to die and go to hell unless you have compassion. It's not a one-man rodeo. It's not a one-person's job. We just heard of a pastor who resigned his church. And this pastor, I admire him. I don't agree with everything he preached. I don't agree with every standard and every conviction he had. But I admired him because he worked harder than any other preacher would in that church. He drove the bus two or three times a week picking up people to bring them to church. My friend, he preached and taught Sunday school and was a principal of the school. And he done everything imaginable. And the whole time, people in the congregation stood up and they said, "Pastor, I want you to know something. I hate you. You're the sorriest preacher we've ever sat under." He'll still take his Bible and preach the Word of God. They had services and they would stand up and say, "Preacher, how much would it cost us to get rid of you, to take you and tell you to go home and never step back foot in these doors again? How much would it cost our church to get rid of our pastor?" He opened the Word of God and began to preach. You're talking about compassion. But we need it, don't we? He'll make a difference in those people who's lost and dying in hell, dying and going to hell. It'll make a difference in their life if you just had a little compassion. The Bible says, and have compassion, making a difference. Christ had compassion on the lost. Boy, he could have stoned that woman and been just. He could have let that woman die and go to hell and been just. But my friend, he wrote something on the ground and stood up and said, hey, I'm not going to throw a stone. I have all right to. But instead of casting stones, I'm going to give her compassion. I'm going to give her mercy. I'm going to give her my grace. I'm going to give her a second chance. Well, thank God for second chances. I've had my fair share of them. I've had my fair share. And it's time for us to get God's compassion. You say, preacher, them drunks, they stink. Yeah, so do we. You say, preacher, that harlot, she's nasty. So was us. You say, that dope head, he don't care about nothing. We didn't either. Until God saved us. Until God changed our lives. And gave us a reason to live. And now we're here tonight because of Jesus. Didn't Jesus have compassion on the lost? I believe we should. The reason me and Brother Jim and Brother Bud goes out, and Sister Amy's been coming, and my wife's been going. The reason we go out Tuesday night, see people saved, see people come to church, see their lives change. You know the reason we go? Because of compassion. Because God has made a difference in my life. And I want the same God that I know to make a difference in somebody else's life. All of us ought to do three things. Win a man to the Lord, win a woman to the Lord, and win a child to the Lord. If you get a woman saved, that's a brand new mama. If you get a man saved, that could be a brand new daddy. You get a child saved, there's no telling what God can do with that child. I believe Mr. Ken Ball, he's the one that led D.L. Moody to the Lord. He was just a Sunday school teacher, but he led D.L. Moody to the Lord. And look what D.L. Moody done, a great evangelist, a great preacher in America. Every one of us should have compassion on the lost. And I believe every one of us should have compassion on each other. Beloved, that's something I'm learning. I'm 30 years old. I just want to get it done. And Brother Jim, if it ain't my way, it's no way. But I'm learning. Have compassion. That's what's going to make a difference. Didn't Christ have compassion on Peter? Didn't he save Peter's unworthy soul? And Peter still denied him. And said, Lord, I don't know you. The man had come up to him and said, yeah, you're one of them, ain't you, Peter? Boy, I wish I was there. And the little maiden looked at me and said, hey, Scott, you're one of them, ain't you? I said, hallelujah, I'm one of them folks who's trusting in Jesus. But Peter didn't. Peter said, no, I'm not. I don't know him. They said, yeah, you're one of them. I saw you with them. No, I've never been with Jesus. But your speech betrayeth thee. Then just to try to clear it up, he cursed. And said, I don't know just Jesus. And the whole time, Jesus was looking at Peter. But you know what's interesting? When Jesus died and resurrected the third day and walked upon this earth for 40 days, he told Mary, he said, hey, Mary, go out there and tell my disciples that I'm no longer in the grave. I'm alive forevermore. I've resurrected from the grave. I'm going into Jerusalem. And hey, Mary, when you go tell my disciples, you also tell Peter. Call them by name and say, hey, you tell Peter I'm alive. You don't think our Savior had compassion on Peter? Peter denied him, cursed him. But he said, Mary, when you see my disciples, you make sure you whisper in Peter's ear, I'm alive. You know what we need? Have compassion on the lost, but have compassion on each other. Beloved, I'm not just like you, and you're not just like me. Boy, fat back, cornbread, and butter beans. That's a delicious meal. Brother Steve has his kidney beans and glass of milk and whatever else. That's all right. We still can get along if we had compassion. You know what, my friend? I'm not saying compromise with a drunk because drinking is not right. I'm not saying compromise with a harlot because it's not right. I'm not saying compromise your faith for anything in the world, but I want you to realize if it wasn't the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hey, that drunk and that harlot, that dope head, that thief, that murderer, that abuser of children, it would have been you if it had not been for our Savior rescuing you, my friend, and coming to where you was at and having compassion for your unfilthy, your unclean, your nasty, my friend. Yet Christ had compassion for all of us. In my worst condition, God had compassion for me. In my vilest time, God had compassion on me. And then when we're saved, well, if you don't believe like me, you're not part of me. There are some pastors I can't fellowship with. There are some pastors and some preachers, I believe they're good men, but I only can go so far. And that's as far as I can go. But I'm still going to have compassion. I'm not going to turn my pious nose up and say I'm better than him. I'm better than her because I believe the way the Word of God says. Beloved, I'm going to tell you the truth. Some people are just trying their best. And we look at them and say it's not good enough. You know what we need? Compassion. You know what got me here? Compassion. Miss Faye Bass and Robert coming to our house, loving our children. They hear me cussing, running out the back door, going to the horse barn, seeing my wife, and they said, hey, we love you enough to keep coming. You know what got me here? When Preacher Larry come to the funeral home, a little bit of beer on my breath, a little bit of marijuana in my pocket, and him coming to me in the funeral home and wrapping his arms around me and saying, I love you. And Jesus does too. You know why I'm here tonight? Because someone had compassion. You know why you're here tonight? Because someone had compassion. And if someone had compassion on us, shouldn't we take that same compassion and give it to someone else? Christ had compassion on the lost. He had compassion on the saved. But you know what? He also had compassion on you. You know what, my friend? Sometimes it eats us up when we do something wrong. And we don't know how to get over it. We don't know how to let the past be the past and just put another foot in front of the next and start walking with the Lord. The Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. I look back at all my past sins, and sometimes it just eats me up of who I was, where I've been, and what I've done. But if God had enough compassion on me to forgive me and save me, shouldn't I have enough compassion on my own self and say I'm worthy? I'm worthy to serve my Lord, not because of me, but because of what he's done in me, because of what he has accomplished in my own self. My friend, I want you to know something. It surprised me when I found it in the Word of God. The Lord needs you. You know that? I've been preaching now for six and a half years. I've always preached, Brother Jim, the Lord don't need us. We need God. And every bit of that last part's true. We need God. But you know what else? God needs us. God needs us. God needs you to have compassion, to tell his message, to tell his story to a lost and dying world who won't hear it unless you tell it. The Lord needs us, my friend, to have compassion on brothers and sisters in Christ when maybe, my friend, they get their eyes off the Lord and take a step back and they're not faithful in church like they should be, and they're not praying, they're not reading the Bible. Hey, it's easy to get on our pedestal and look at them and say, hey, you're not worthy, you shouldn't come to church because of who you are. But what they need is someone with compassion that says, hey, I can be in the same place, but hey, I'm going to be here to help you to get restored, to help you to come back to God, to help you to be faithful, because God's worthy. We can look down on them. That ain't going to do one bit of good. But we can't say, hey, I might be in the same place next year, and I'm coming to help you, so I want you to come and help me. We tried our best to help Sister Amy, and she's here tonight. But Sister Amy, I got news for you. Next year, it might be me that needs you to come to see me to get me back in church. I'm no better than she, and she's no better than me. If any one of us get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and get ourselves occupied in this world, there's no telling what we'll do. So we need someone with compassion and wrap their arms around us and say, hey, I love you. And Jesus does too. And it says God had compassion on us. Shouldn't we have compassion on ourselves and forgive our own selves of the mess ups and the slip ups and the blunders we made? But we've made some blunders with our family. We've made some blunders with our children. We made some blunders in our marriage. Well, my wife hurt my heart today. She told me something, and she didn't mean it. I peeked out today. We had a great meal. And Brother Jim, she looked at me. She said, that's all you're going to eat the rest of the day. She didn't mean it. But hey, she's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But every once in a while, we need someone to put their arms around us and say, hey, I love you. And it's going to be all right. If Jesus Christ can do it, can't we? I believe we can. Let me see if I got another verse for you. And then we'll close. The Bible says this, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. Well, that's compassion, ain't it? And Jesus said, I in all your filth and all your grime, you come to me and I help you. The Bible says, casting our care upon him, for he careth for us. Well, you mess up. You ever had a little child to try to draw you a picture? I remember when I was a little child and we got a coloring book and got some crayons. We'll draw a picture for mama. And I wanted to stay in the lines and make it just as perfect and just as pretty as I can. Every once in a while, I'll get out of the line and scribble and get out of the line and scribble, get out of the line and scribble. You know, I get to mama, it's a mess. My mama would look at it and say, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. That's what compassion is. Taking somebody else's mess and making something beautiful out of it. That's what Christ has done for all of us. He's took your mess and my mess and made something great out of it. And I believe we can share that compassion with others. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you tonight. The Bible says a bruised reed will you not break. I've been a bruised reed. I've been in a position where, God, I wasn't what I should have been. But yet, God, you had compassion. And you saw me through it and helped me through it. The Bible said, a smoking flax will you not quench. I've been on fire for God, been shining brightly. And then something has taken place where I was just a smoldering flax. But God, I thank you that you didn't quench it. That you didn't put it out completely. But God, you refueled and refired and restored. I pray, Father, tonight for us that we have compassion. I believe a key verse in the Bible says, and some have compassion, making a difference. If we have this compassion of our Savior for the lost, for each other, and for our own selves, we can make a difference. And Father, that's what it all boils down to. It's not how much we can leave behind when we're gone. Not what kind of prosperity and worldly goods we can have when we're on this earth. But that the fabric of our existence can be sown into the lives of others. And when we take our last breath, they can look at us in the casket and say, that person has made a true difference in my life. Lord, help us to have compassion and make a difference.